Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth in for Braden Gall this morning alongside D. Mace here on this Friday morning before the big divisional round playoff game between the Titans and Ravens, 7:15 kickoff tomorrow evening. If you're looking for a place to go to watch the game, I'm telling you, Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House is the place to go watch it in East Nashville. I was there last week for the Patriots game, and it felt like you were pretty much at the game. It was loud. It was rowdy. And when Logan Ryan returned that pick six, it was deafening inside Boomba's. So if you want a place to watch the game tomorrow night, Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House is the place to be. Come out early and say hello to Jared Floyd, Chris Sanders, who will be hanging out from 2 to 7 tomorrow at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. D-Mace, this is a pretty big moment for Mike Vrabel. I think, you know, the reason why they moved on from Mike Mularkey, even when he made it to the divisional round, is that, look, John Robinson and Amy Adams Strunk, they thought that there was something better within this organization, within this team, than just making it to round two of the playoffs. And I know the Titans are pretty big underdogs going into this game. Depending on what line you look at, it's, you know, in the 9.5 to 10-point range in which the Ravens are favored in this game. But I think this could be a pretty big moment for Mike Vrabel. If the Titans go up there to Baltimore and get a win, no matter how it happens, I think that's going to reflect very well on Mike Vrabel and the job that he's done in year two with this team.
Yeah, this organization, this fan base, if they win, they're not going to care how it happened necessarily. They just want the victory. And, you know, it pushes them closer to their ultimate goal. And I think it fast forwards the expectation for this franchise. You know, because when a new coach is hired, you want to go, you try to go incrementally, you know, things that you want to accomplish. Sometimes you get there faster than what many expected. Sometimes it takes a little time. This team was, when Mike took over, this team was equipped to win because they had won prior to Mike being there. I think John saw an opportunity to get the guy he wanted. Because you got to remember, you know, this isn't necessarily, you know, John didn't hire Mike Mularkey. You know, this is, you know, Amy wanted Mike Mularkey. And Mike's a good coach. But I think John saw an opportunity to get a guy that he was familiar with, a guy that he knew, a guy that had what he thought were the attributes to be a really good coach for this football team. And when Mike took over, this team was ready to win. They were already ready to win. And these guys bought into what he's preaching. And if they can pick up the win against the Baltimore Ravens, I believe it expedites, you know, the vision and the steps that the Titans wanted to take in order to be one of the more dominant teams in the National Football League. So you thought the New England win was big for an organization. If they can get this win, it would be even bigger. People would then forget about the New England win. And they got an opportunity to do it. They have, you know, the formula to you know, keep this thing close and to win it. And that's because they run the ball effectively. I need to see more from their defense because, again, that defense was tailor-made for a New England team. Now they got to show that, you know, they can adjust if need be, that they can handle this running game that, frankly, nobody could handle in the NFL this year.
Right.
And then they got to, even with doing that, they got to be able to, on the offensive side, continue to do what they've been doing and not necessarily get out of the confines of them being who they are. And that's running the football and play action.
So earlier in the show, I made a statement saying that I think Dean Pease is the most important person in this game tomorrow night for the Titans to drum up a game plan that can at least slow down and contain the Ravens. I don't think you're going to stop them, but maybe you contain them and slow them down enough where when they get in your own zone, You don't give up a touchdown. You hold them to a field goal and do that multiple times. You catch a couple breaks on offense, and maybe you're going to be in a position to win this football game tomorrow night. Who would you say is the most important person slash player for this Titans team tomorrow night?
Oh, man. I think it's going to be, you know, obviously Dean Pease. But the extension of Dean Pease to me is Kevin Byard, because he has to do two things. And he's had to do two things throughout the whole season, but he has to be particularly focused this game, because not only do he have to possibly come in the box, he has to cover those tight ends. He has to, you know, which I'm pretty sure he's done. He's a smart player. He has to figure out cues, what tips it up. It could be the slightest thing. What tips off run pass or which way they're going to run. He has to be looking at that intently, because they're going to do a bunch of stuff. They're going to try to manipulate it. They're going to try to disguise it. They're going to try to, you know, Lamar is sort of this magician in the backfield with the ball. Kevin Byard has to be eye disciplined. He has to see it as it develops, because he can't get caught looking in the backfield and then that tight end run by him, because now they don't have Brown that can cover a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that speed.
And the Ravens have a good tight end in Mark Andrews.
Absolutely. So it's going to be – a lot of it is going to be on Kevin Byard and really those safeties, Vaccaro and Hooker, because I believe Hooker's going to play a lot too. It's going to be really incumbent on those safeties to be eye disciplined. You know, don't get fooled. Don't get fooled by this, you know, trickery that Baltimore loves to do. You play what you see. Trust your film work. Trust what you saw in film. Trust what you've been doing in practice. Trust it. If you trust it, then you have a better opportunity to stop it. If you start questioning and start looking in the backfield, that tight end is going to run flat out by you, or those receivers are going to run by you because you are the help for the corner. So I think Byard and just those safeties in general for me.
What matchups does Derek Mason think are really important for this Titans team? What are the most intriguing matchups within this big picture matchup of Titans versus Ravens tomorrow night, divisional round of the playoffs? We will get his expertise coming up next. He's Derek Mason. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's up, Pekka? He of the empty net goal last night.
Absolutely.
To seal the 5-2 win over the Chicago Blackhawks. We equated it earlier in the show, mm-hmm. at the top of the show. You said it's just like a fat man touchdown in football.
Mm-hmm.
A bench guy who never plays.
Exactly.
Particularly in college basketball, comes in the last minute, shoots a three, and the whole bench goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I equated it to a pitcher hitting a home run, particularly Bartolo Colon, when he hit the most unexpected home run in baseball history just a few years back. And Pecorine last night scoring his first ever empty net goal. We'll hear, before we get out of here, we'll hear those calls again, radio and TV. But talking Titans-Ravens here, Titans-Ravens divisional round playoff game tomorrow. We have 10 hours of consecutive coverage before kickoff tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m. with the kickoff with Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell. Chase and TD live from Sliders Bar and Grill outside of Camden Yards, right near M&T Bank Stadium. They'll be live from 12 to 2. Jared and the GM from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House from 2 to 5. And then NFL pregame with Jared Floyd and Chris Sanders from 5 to 7 at Boomba's. So a lot of pregame coverage tomorrow right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, starting at 9 a.m. And I'm sure tomorrow, D-Maze, they're going to be breaking down a lot of matchups within Titans v. Ravens. What, I guess, for you is the most intriguing matchup within the matchup?
I think it's going to be one of them is going to be Brown versus Humphreys, or Brown versus Marcus Peters. He's going to have an opportunity, A.J. Brown, because he's going to, whether it's in three wide receiver set or just 22 personnel, He's going to go against all three of these corners, Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphreys, and Marcus Peters. And you're talking about two guys that are all pro guys. And Jimmy Smith is a former first rounder. That's no slouch either. He's going to have to prove that he can get separation, because when he's gone up against some of the better DBs in the league, he's been limited to one or no catches.
Well, and last week against Stephon Gilmore, just one catch, and it was a screen pass.
Exactly. And then, you know, a lot of it you can say, well, you know, they didn't target him, or there were opportunities. They just didn't, you know, look his way, whatever the case may be.
Is that up to A.J. Brown to create separation? Is that up to Arthur Smith to design things for A.J. Brown to get open? Or is that up to Ryan Tannehill to get him the ball? Or is it all three?
I think it's all three.
Okay.
And Mike has spoke on this before, Mike Vrabel. Listen, it's not all the quarterback's fault. You know, these guys got to get separation too. And there has been times where they have not gotten separation. And I think a lot of it has to do with at least A.J. Brown. He hasn't quite yet developed the art of running a route. He just hasn't. And it's going to take time. Corey Davis is more so of the route runner. I think Corey Davis has always been a good route runner. He just was taught different coming out of college. He was more polished as a receiver. A.J. Brown's still learning. I think he will eventually learn how to manipulate routes and how to work a DB's technique. But right now he's not quite there. So he's going to have to prove that he can get separation, because if he can't get separation, Ryan Tannehill would be hesitant to throw the ball to him. And that's what you can't have, is the hesitancy to go to your number one guy. And I think they had it last week. I think he had it when they played the Saints. And if it shows up again, then that further limits the Titans on what they can do in regards to passing the ball.
So, and I know it depends on which receiver is on which Ravens corner, but of the three Ravens corners that we talked about, Humphreys, Smith, and Peters, do you think Peters is the most, I guess you could say, the most vulnerable to those bigger plays because of how much risk he plays within his game?
Yeah, he plays with this risk or reward at times, but it's calculated. I think when he was with the Rams, the LA Rams, he didn't play with a calculation. He just jumped in and just went for it without understanding what the defense was. That's why he got beat a lot. I think under this Ravens system, and I know Coach Harbaugh, if you're going to take a chance, he wants it to be a calculated guess. He doesn't. You got to know the defense. You got to know that you got help over the top. You know, you got to communicate. They do a good job at communicating with those safeties in the back end. If I'm going to jump this route, have my back over the top. Marcus Peters, the reason he's made all pro is because he has bought into that system that Wink Martindale is preaching. He's going to take chances, but they're going to be calculated chances. They're going to watch film so they know they can anticipate when he's going to run that double move. But if any guy is susceptible to it, it would be Marcus Peters. But I think they're going to try to go at Jimmy Smith, too, because Jimmy, he's the third corner for a reason. He's a good corner, really good corner, but he's been known to give up plays, too. I think they're going to stay away from Marlon Humphreys, but they're going to try to go to those other two guys. And I think if you said which guy is prone to giving up the bigger play, it would be Peters because of his history.
Earl Thomas is in that secondary as well. Would you say that this Ravens secondary is very much like the Seahawks secondary when they won the Super Bowl with Richard Sherman, Brandon Browner, and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor? Would you think that this Ravens secondary is close to that or not quite?
No, I think they are. I think that they are built in that mold. You know, when the Seahawks were winning, they had two really good corners. They had two really good safeties.
And long corners, too.
Long, physical, strong corners. And they had a nickel guy that was pretty good as well. Well, if you look at what the Titans, I mean, what the Baltimore Ravens have done, they got three corners that are 6'1" and above. You know, I think Jimmy Smith might be the taller of the corners. They're long-armed, they're physical, and they can run. And then you got Earl Thomas, who, you know, his credentials speak for himself. He's a potential Hall of Famer. And then, you know, we had Quadri on, and what they did with Carr, Brandon Carr, they moved him from corner to safety. So you got a safety that can play corner or play nickel if need be. This is probably the most complete secondary that the Titans have faced all season. And they have, you know, they got a challenge on their hands. But I think, you know, I think if A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and you know, whether it's Firkser or Jonnu Smith, because we forget about him. But if those guys can go out there and just play with a sense of freeness and not make this game bigger than what it is, then I think they will have an opportunity to make some plays in the game. But watch Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith is going to be the guy, too, on offense for the Titans. They need to get him involved.
Well, I expected him to be very much involved in New England last mm-hmm. week, and he caught a pass on the first, I believe, series of downs mm-hmm. in New England. And for whatever reason, did not have another catch the rest of the game. He is a player that has that big playability that we've seen a lot this season, especially with Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. that if those corners do shut down the receivers, then Jonnu or even Firkser, but Firkser isn't a big play guy. He's mm-hmm. more of a possession tight end. You know, Jonnu can make something happen.
Yeah, because if they go, if the Titans choose to go three wide receivers and Jonnu is the third guy, well, the Baltimore Ravens, are they going to cover him with the linebacker, or are they going to bring Brandon Carr down and try to cover him? It depends, because when they go to their three receiver set, they bring Humphreys down on the slot. They put Jimmy Smith and Peters outside. Well, you got to account for Jonnu Smith because he has the speed of a receiver but the physicality of a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to account for him. So what do? Do they bring down Carr? Do they bring down Earl Thomas? That's going to be a dilemma that, you know, Baltimore have to – they need to really worry about, and I think they will.
You know, another thing that that I'm looking for, you know, I've mentioned Dean Pease, but, you know, he's almost going to have to outsmart Greg Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Roman, a very experienced offensive coordinator in this league. He's getting a lot of credit for how efficient the Ravens' offense has been this season. Dean Pease is going to have to outsmart him within this matchup. And a lot of people are bringing up the, you know, the fact that there are five former Heisman Trophy winners in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's only going to come down to two, maybe three.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Griffin III and Marcus Mariota are going to have little to no impact in this game. Mark Ingram probably depends on his health.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, doesn't it just come down to Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson when you look at those Heisman winners? I mean, those are the two stars on those offenses that everybody in the national media is talking about.
Yeah, one led the league in rushing, and he has led the league in rushing for a year and a half. If you combine, you know, the last seven games of last year and then this year. And then you have another guy that's led the league in touchdowns thrown, and he's led all quarterbacks, none running backs, let's just say that, in rushing with 1,200 yards. So, you know, it would behoove either the Titans' defense or the Ravens' defense to figure out a way to stop those two guys. It's a little bit easier, just a tad bit easier, to stop Derrick Henry because you know he's getting the ball than to stop Lamar Jackson because you don't know if he's going to hand the ball off, is he going to take it himself, is he going to throw it to the tight ends, what is he going to do? So you have to really be disciplined on what you see with Lamar Jackson. Now, Derrick Henry, it's going to be tough to stop him, but at least you know that he's not going to throw the football. More than likely, he's not going to go out for a pass route other than catching a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to worry about him, stopping him, getting him stopped. If he has to stop his feet, then you win. But if you let that big guy get rolling and you don't touch him at the line of scrimmage, I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be a long day for the Baltimore Ravens.
For sure. Coming up next, can the Titans' magic continue in the Charm City? We'll get to that next. We'll take a quick look at all four divisional round playoff games this weekend. not just Titans, Ravens, but three others. So we'll take a look at those as well coming up next. But D-Mace, I know you have a word with USS.
Yes, USS. You said it right there, Ryan, which stands for United Structural Systems, which is a foundation and a repair and waterproofing company that has served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. They have over or more than 18,000 satisfied customers. Here's some of their highlights. Their quality is great. Reputation is stellar. Expertise, integrity, which is a must. And, you know, they got a few selling points here. And when they come out to your house, they're going to give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, so they're not a bunch of these stores just littered across, you know, the U.S. They're a foundation and waterproofing company. Again, they've served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. They are licensed and insured. So, again, this is not a franchise, okay? Custom solution to meet the homeowner's need, all right? And they guarantee it. So here it is. They guarantee their best, so call USS. So here's the number so you can make that call. 615-227-2275, 615-227-2275, or go online, USSTN.com.
Welcome back in Morning Drive. Ryan Porthen for Braden Gall this morning. He is out sick. Hopefully, Braden will start feeling better and can enjoy the Titans-Ravens game tomorrow night without being sick. We're going to preview all four divisional playoff games and make our picks here in this segment. And D-Mace, let's start with the Vikings and the Niners. Tomorrow at 3:35 out in Santa Clara. They're not they're the San Francisco 49ers, but they don't play in San Francisco. They just play in the Bay Area. Beautiful Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Minnesota went on the road. They beat New Orleans in overtime. Crazy game down there in the Superdome on Sunday. They have a short week and a long flight out to San Francisco. What would be your pick for that divisional playoff game?
Kirk Cousins last week got the monkey off his back because he hadn't won a playoff game. You know, his record versus, you know, really good teams wasn't that good. But he managed. He stepped up when he needed to. It was because of him. And obviously Dalvin Cook, it was because of him that they ended up winning that game. But I just think San Fran is too tough a team. And playing them in San Francisco, having to make that long flight, I think it's going to be a bit too much. Now, the game's going to be close, I think. I think it'll be close. But I think San Fran, because they're at home, I think they pull it out
24-21.
Yeah, 24-21.
49ers, okay.
Yep, 49ers.
Marquise, behind the glass, do you have a pick on Niners-Vikings tomorrow?
I agree with everything. It's funny because the Vikings game was kind of parallel to the Titans game where they used their running game with Dalvin Cook to try to get through that game. But Kirk Cousins obviously played a little bit more phenomenal than Ryan Tannehill. I just think, out of all the top-seeded teams that are going to possibly lose this week, I don't think the 49ers are going to be one of them.
I think the Niners blow them out.
I think the Niners will win this game.
Mind you that Adam Thielen had to get stitches, I think, in his foot or ankle or something.
I did not see that.
Yes, he had to receive stitches. Something happened in practice. So he's questionable. So that might, you know, that might be a big blow to the Vikings as well.
I think we're going to see Jimmy G keep this train rolling into the NFC Championship game, and it would be in San Francisco, or technically in Santa Clara, if the Niners can beat the Vikings. Let's skip Titans Ravens. We'll get to that here at the end. Texans Chiefs Sunday 2:05 on CBS. Kansas City 10-point favorites.
I see Andy Reid keeping his train rolling. I think Houston wins in spite of O'Brien. I mean, not this game, but I'm saying they win in spite of him. There was no way that Buffalo should have lost that game last week. They were up 16-0. They shouldn't have lost that game. But because of Deshaun Watson's wizardry, they end up winning. Mm-hmm. But I think it ends this week. I just think they're too much. KC's too explosive. And that defense for Houston is not good. That secondary is not good. So I got KC. Like, I think they're going to blow them out. I think the score is going to be like 31-14.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, Marquise.
No faith in Bill O'Brien.
None whatsoever.
No, I don't either. That's why I'm going with Kansas City. And I think Kansas City is a shoe-in, I think, for the Super Bowl.
Wow. Mm. A shoe-in. Mm. See, my pre-playoff pick was Niners-Chiefs to make it to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, to say that it's a shoe-in.
I just think the way Patrick Mahomes, and now he's fully healthy, 100% healthy, this defense is finally starting to pick up. It's like LSU a little bit, to where LSU started to get late in the season, and that's when their defense started to pick up a little bit. Obviously, Grant Dilpit kind of helped with that as well. But they started picking up on defense, and I think the Chiefs is the same thing. As long as they can keep that defense intact, you still got Patrick Mahomes, you got a talented running game, and obviously talented wide receivers. I just think this team could go to the Super Bowl.
Now, the Texans did go on the road and beat the Chiefs earlier this season, but Patrick Mahomes was banged up mm-hmm. at that point in the season, and I fully expect Kansas City to win this game.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a close game or a blowout, but I cannot see the Chiefs losing this game to the Houston Texans. And the Texans have never been past divisional round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and just watching the way that secondary's played over the last this whole season, I just don't buy. I think Patrick Mahomes can throw for like 300-400 yards in this game. Easy.
Could easily happen, for sure. Sunday evening, Seattle at Green Bay, snowy Lambeau Field. They've had to ask for volunteers to go out and shovel snow at Lambeau Field this week. D-Mace, how do you see that one playing out?
Now, this one's going to be interesting because, to me, if they're playing in Seattle, I think Seattle wins this hands down. But there's just something about, you know, this 13-3 Green Bay team. They haven't always looked great, but they've managed to win football games. I think this is another week where they pull a rabbit out of the hat. And Brett Favre, I mean, not Brett Favre, but Aaron Rodgers. If Brett Favre was doing something, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to do something within this game. He has his receiver, Adams, back. So he's going to do something within this game that's going to cause Green Bay toward the end of the game to win, whether it's a deep pass to set up a field goal or whether, you know, it's a touchdown that ultimately puts them up. It's going to be a close game, but I think that Lambeau mystique is going to kick in, and Green Bay wins this game 28-24.
Marquise?
I'm going opposite. I'm going Seahawks.
I'm going Seahawks, too.
I just think Russell Wilson's played MVP-level season this year. Now, mind you, he's not going to get it because, you know, Lamar Jackson, he exists in this world. So I just think this team's going to win. And I haven't seen anything from this Matt LaFleur offense from Green Bay. Like, they've been the worst offense of a team that's 13-3.
They have shredded a lot of bad defenses, but the Packers have looked pretty vulnerable against good teams.
Yeah.
And Seattle's not going to be scared of whatever elements they're playing in Lambeau, whether it's snowy, whether it's, you know, a nice night.
Mm-hmm.
I think Russell Wilson goes in there and gets the job done.
Yeah, I believe in Russ.
They win on a late field goal there at Lambeau. All right, Titans-Ravens, Saturday night, tomorrow night, 7:15 kickoff at M&T Bank Stadium. It is the Derek Mason, Samari Roll, Steve McNair, all of the above bowl as the Titans face off with the Baltimore Ravens. Derek, what is your final pick?
My final pick is it's a tie, and both teams move on to AFC championship game, and both of them team up to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
No. I think the Titans, they have what it takes on offense, meaning they run the ball very, very well. And Ryan Tannehill can make plays with his arms. I just don't think they have enough on defense to stop the Baltimore Ravens from scoring. I'm not going to say it's going to be a blowout. It's not. But I just don't think that defense has enough, especially with Brown being out now. I don't think they have enough playmakers on that side of the ball to stop the Baltimore Ravens. There's nothing that's telling me that Baltimore is going to slow down. Nothing whatsoever. I'm not looking at last year's game and saying, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to choke, because he's not. This is a different team, different quarterback. I think they win this game. It's not – I think it's 24-14.
Okay. Still a little bit low
scoring.
Yeah,
I think the game's 24-14. But I think Baltimore just controls the game, period. All game, they control it. And they're never in a position where they're going to lose.
Okay.
If the Titans come out the first two quarters like they've done in previous games – I think this game can get away from them real quick, and I think that's what's going to end up happening. I think they keep it close late, kind of have that second half stint like they always do. I just don't think they'll be able to keep up with the Ravens on offense. So I'm going to go Ravens because I want to see a matchup between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, and that's what's going to happen.
Okay. I hear you guys. I hear you. And I'm a Titans fan, so obviously there's some bias behind this, okay? But – I'm going to channel Remember the Titans here, all right? So the Titans, let's say they're trailing 17-13 with 30 seconds left in the game. They can't pass all night. Derrick Henry keeps them in the game. They squeeze out 13 points. They have the ball last. There's 30 seconds left. Ryan Tannehill is Ronnie Bass, and Marcus Mariota is Rev Harris. Mike Vrabel is going to pull the team together and say, fake 23 blasts with a backside George reverse. Fake 23 blasts with a backside George reverse like your life depended upon it. And Marcus Mariota is going to get the ball in a backside George reverse, and he's going to take it to the house. And the Titans win 2017.
Oh, wow.
And the history of the road team winning playoff game between these two teams continues. And the Titans get payback on your Baltimore Ravens that ruined early January of 2009 for this Titans fan. The Titans get payback on that, on those two Ravens teams that came in here when the Titans were the one seed, felt like they were going to go to the Super Bowl. Titans get payback and get revenge on the Ravens, and they are now the ones pulling the upset.
Well, it's going to take a lot, Ryan. It's going to take a lot, man.
It's going to take a backside George reverse like their life depended upon it to get that job done.
But it can be done. That's the beauty of the NFL.
I'm a believer.
It can be done. So, but I got the Ravens. No slight to Baltimore. I mean, no slight to Titans. I'm just picking what I see.
Okay.
And
I'm picking what I hope.
Now, if this was Kansas City, Tennessee, I'd pick Tennessee.
Okay.
Even
they have the Chiefs number.
Yeah. So they've been able to play the Chiefs well.
All right. Well, coming up next, we'll have the big finish here on Morning Drive. I'm Ryan Porthen for Brayden Gall, alongside Derek Mason. Big finish coming up next on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Game.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Under 30 seconds to play now. Crawford goes to the bench again. And Rene takes a long elevated shot, bouncing, and he scores! Pekka Rene scores into the empty net. Predators with a 5-2 lead. Pekka Rene becomes the second Predators goaltender in team history to score a goal.
It is the big finish on Morning Drive, and that was a big finish from Pekka Rene. Quite literally, big finish. He is a tall Finnish goaltender. Pekka Rene with the empty net goal, his first career NHL goal, and the first goal scored by a goaltender in the National Hockey League since 2013. So congrats to Pekka Rene on scoring that goal. Congrats to John Hines for collecting his first win behind the Predators bench. Also congrats to Colin Blackwell. He also scored his first NHL goal last night as well. The Preds defeat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2 on the road. They're back home. They're practicing tomorrow before going back out on the road, and they face Winnipeg in a matinee on Sunday. Pregame at 12, puck drop at 1. All the action heard right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, let's get to what we always do at 9:45 on Morning Drive, and that's the big finish. Good morning, Nashville. It is Morning Drive on a Friday morning.
Rene will try. Rene going deep for the empty net. It is bouncing! Score!
Willie Donick and Chris Mason last night on the TV call.
Oh, my goodness. That's one of those things, you know, they didn't expect. And
I screamed at home.
Exactly. They were more, I think they showed more excitement See, Pete is cool with his. You know, Pete just, because he throw out a stat, too. Pete is always controlled. He's always measured. But there's excitement in his measurement. Those two crazos, it's just like, ah, yeah.
Sounded like the Tampa Bay Lightning radio team. Terry Crisp.
Beck is such a great person, and so down to earth. He said, yep, Mr. Lindsay, yep, we can put a check in that box. I got that accomplished now. So he's got his little box check to go. But when that thing went in, it was dead in the middle, and Willie and Mace were up in the box and cheering. I thought, you know what, that's exactly the tonic we need for this hockey club right now. We have a new coach coming in who needs some help by the players, need the players to feel good about themselves, get some confidence. And you win a hockey game against a very good team, a desperate team back in Chicago, and Beck plays out of his skull in the third period, second part of the second and third, and he gets a goal. And I said, going back into the dressing room, they got to feel good about everything around them. So if we're looking for tonic and looking for something to jumpstart us, that game last night has to be it.
Joined now by Josh Ward of WNML in Knoxville.
If you'd asked me a week ago, then if this would happen, then my answer today would be of greater surprise. But there were some rumblings over the last few days that, hey, Trey is really considering staying at Tennessee. It's massive news for Tennessee, so it elevates the excitement level. And I think a lot of Tennessee fans had spent most of the season expecting that this was the final year they would see Trey Smith play for Tennessee. And at one point, Trey probably thought that this would be his final season. But based on what the NFL Draft Advisory Committee told him and conversations with medical staff members, I think all of that added up to Trey deciding, you know what, why don't I take another shot a year in college, prove what I can do, improve my draft stock.
Jeff Zrebeck covers the Ravens for The Athletic.
You know, this was supposed to be a year where, you know, Lamar Jackson and the offense was, you know, kind of in that work in progress, you know, zone. You know, we expected, you know, Jackson to take some steps forward to play better than what we saw last year at times when he subbed for a hurt Joe Flacco and took over down the stretch. But to say anybody expected this guy to, you know, put up MVP-type numbers and he's going to get the MVP and the offense to be the highest scoring outlet in the league, nobody expected that. And, you know, everyone sort of laughed at John Harbaugh when he talked in the offseason. And trust me, I was one of those guys snickering when he talked in the offseason about, you know, doing something that's going to revolutionize things offensively. And, yeah, we were like, okay, you know, but, you know, he was prophetic.
Kadri Ishmael.
Lamar recognizes that last year against the LA Chargers, he felt like he played his worst game, and that kind of stuck with him. I think that was part of the reason why he became the quarterback in the offseason that he became, is because he's like, you know what, skip all this. I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I will not be ill-prepared. So they are 14-2. They're in a position now where they can advance to the AFC Championship game. I just don't see them, you know, just blindly, you know, sitting back, resting on their laurels, because they feel that they've accomplished something. You know, what did you accomplish? Okay, you're 14-2. Okay, you had the greatest regular season in Raven history, but that's cool. All I know is the 2012 and 2000 team, you know, they kind of polished their rings, and people love them for it. You got to go ahead and finish the deal. Yeah, I know this to be true, that Derek is going to have his purple underwear on. Go Ravens.
I didn't know Derek had purple underwear.
Hey, man, you can't be putting that out there, Q, man.
I didn't know you had purple underwear.
Hey, man, I'm telling everybody that, man.
Do you have light blue underwear?
Hey, man, I got all colors. Yeah.
But do you have two-tone blue underwear?
Does anybody have two-tone blue?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either.
Well, maybe. I'm sure there are some Titans fans out there that have two-tone blue underwear.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Yeah, they have Titans written across the kind of the band part.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else.
No, man.
A little backside. Titan logo on there.
Say Henry on the back.
Would I spend a week in jail to get rid of my student loans? I would have spent 3 months in jail to get rid of my student loans, and I would have done it happily. And eventually, before it was all said and done, I'd be leading prison calisthenics and stuff like that, you know, requesting certain menu items, stuff like that, you know, going to the best shank builder and get a good shank, you know, for if I needed anything like that. I would have been like that leprechaun on the damn Lucky Charms if they said, okay, 1 week, all your student loans are erased. I would have gone in the hole for 1 week.
Oh, good stuff there. The Daily Rewind there here on a Morning Drive. Again, Ryan Porth in for Braden Gall. He is out sick. Hope Braden is feeling better this weekend and he can enjoy what I would say is annually the best weekend of NFL football where you still have the four playoff games, mm-hmm. but you've got the best of the best in these games.
Of course.
And I'd absolutely love divisional round weekend. Divisional round playoff weekend is usually when I just park my rear end on a couch and watch football for two entire days.
Yeah, why not, man? It's going to be some good football this weekend. And then you got the football game Monday, the national championship game Monday, which people kind of glossed over.
Sneaking up on us with all the Titans euphoria.
He's getting pushed aside.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you got the national championship game Monday. You got the playoff games tomorrow and Sunday, I believe.
Yep.
The Preds playing there, don't they?
Preds Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Pre-game at 12, puck drop at 1.
So we got if you want to see sports, you got it this weekend.
What did Malcolm Butler say when he first came here? Clean slate and a full plate. It is a full plate.
Absolutely.
Of big time sports this weekend here in Nashville. Preds at Jets. That's a big Central Division game. And you mentioned the national championship game. Your exclusive home in Nashville for that game is both ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9 Game 2, LSU Clemson Monday night. So
get it done.
Monday morning at 6, yes. D-Mace. You'll be in here with hopefully Brandon Gall is feeling better by then.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're talking about a Titans win and appearance in the AFC Championship game.
That would be great.
That would be so awesome. For Derek Mason, I'm Ryan Porth. Thanks for listening this morning. Coming up next, it is Darren, Donick, and Chase. You're going to hang around and talk some Titans-Ravens playoff history with them here at the top of the show. So enjoy doing the show with you, and
you
have a good weekend.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a great week. Be safe weekend, and be safe, and I love you.